When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. Hey team, it's Jillian with some super exciting news. You can now listen to our back catalog and new episodes of the show completely ad-free on Stitcher Premium. They also have tons of other ad-free Wondery shows. You can sign up now for a free month of Stitcher Premium by going to stitcherpremium.com/Wondery and using the promo code Wondery, W-O-N-D-E-R-Y. Then once you're signed up, just download the Stitcher app for iOS or Android and start listening. That's stitcherpremium.com/Wondery, promo code Wondery. Team, I know Giancarlo is going to chime in on this bad boy. I was doing Lauren Everts and Michael Bostick's podcast the other day, which is The Skinny Confidential, right? So awesome. Love those two. And they were talking about, like, what advice, we have a lot of millennials, what advice would you give millennials in the workforce? And I thought about the advice I was giving, and I realized it wasn't just about millennials. And I've noticed across the board that it's an attitude, right? It doesn't matter if you're an Xer, because Xers, I think we're a bitter generation. And like, if we were to really like stereotype the worst things about each generation, right? I think the baby boomers just consumed with no thoughts or concerns as to the damage it would do. You know, just reckless, like, and I know that's terrible. Not all of them, but a lot, right? I mean, it's like just voracious appetites for God knows what, whether it was drugs in the 80s or partying in the 60s or, you know, money in the, like, and it just kind of like, whatever. Like, if we're going to say Xers, I think we're bitter as just bitter, bitter, bitter generation. We're just like, this is bullshit. Nobody cares about us. We're
boomers,
overlooked.
You ate my planet.
You did. Exactly. And then millennials, everyone says they're entitled, right? So this is where we are with like whatever all of us think of. It's like generational form of prejudice. Okay. But how does work play into that concept? And what kind of advice would you give people to get their career to the next level? And I would say it's not about millennials and it's not about Xers and it's not about boomers. It's just, what is your fucking attitude? And if somebody shows up, and when I was starting out, right, it was look for something to do, find something to do.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Be the first one in, be the last one to leave. Be the one that, you know, if, like, I've got this guy that works for me, Cody, right, the chosen one. I adore him. Like, if this guy has nothing to do, he will clean my garage.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
I love him so much. Like, Christmas rolls around, and I'm like, here's a Lamborghini. Like, I love him. I like.
But he prefers a pickup.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. But there's, like, nothing that I wouldn't do for this kid.
And he reaps the benefits of all that hard work because I'm totally loyal. And if he ever needed me, I would be there no matter what, and vice versa. Right. And he doesn't ever think like, I'm too good for this. Or this is beneath me, or what are the hours? Or so then I'm watching GMA this morning, right? And they've got this woman on from Shark Tank, and people are able to ask her questions about job interviews. And someone goes, you know, is it a good question to say, like, how soon can I expect to be promoted? And the whole audience held up a yes thing, right? Like, yes, that's a good question. And she was like, no, that's a horrible question. Because I'm thinking, what a pain in the ass this person's going to be. Like, so I find that, like, when I interview people for jobs, right? What are the hours? What are the vacation days? Like, what are the benefits? And I get that you're trying to be like, I value myself. I'm of value. But those are just the wrong effing questions,
man.
By
the way, those are questions for HR when you're already down the line.
Like, right?
Practically or actually being offered the job.
Right?
That's not the first thing you
ask.
Yeah,
but people treat it like they're shopping for a shirt at a store. Like, that's the problem. Yeah.
That is the problem.
Yeah.
That is the problem, and you won't get the job.
But that's like saying, you know, look at all the shirts. Look at all the jobs. I get my pick of any of them.
But you don't.
You don't.
But you don't.
So that's backwards.
Yeah, you don't. And it's like, I found that, I've gotten to a point where I won't even hire an assistant.
Right, so this problem is so real.
I won't do it anymore.
This problem is so real that I refuse to hire anyone full-time anymore. So what I'll do is I said, Jill, I found a couple candidates. Yeah. We're going to test them on a consultancy basis. I'm going to give them certain metrics and targets to hit.
Yep.
And should they accomplish that within the time frame, and I'm, of course, fair, then I'll engage with them about a permanent position. But long gone are the days where I'm just filling a position. It's never going to happen again. Mm-hmm. I've been burned too many times, and it frustrates her and I because you're putting your faith in giving someone the opportunity for then her and I to have to come in and fix their problems.
Really big companies often will do this where you're 3 months probation, really. You don't get benefits. You know, it's
yeah.
And then when you are.
Hence, that's why they call it at will.
At-will employee,
because you don't know what you're hiring. If somebody interviews great and they're terrible at the job, what do you do?
Long.
You can't just fire someone.
I don't understand the attitude, and I see it so often. Like, literally, I was in a situation where we had an employee, and it was like, I went above and beyond, right? Like, oh, you need Accutane, I'm going to pay for your Accutane. You know how much money that costs? Yeah. Thousands of dollars, thousands, right? Oh, you have back problems, I'll pay. By the way, an employee that was making $90,000 a year plus benefits plus bonuses, right? So, okay, so it's like, then, oh, swag here, you take it all. Oh, you like, here are tickets to this concert. Oh, here's, you know, constantly, right? So now it gets tough, things get hard, and we're busier. And this person, and it's like, I have Cody, my executive assistant, like I have a concierge service. And we get to this place where it's like, I actually heard the words, that's not on my job description.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, well, it's not on my boss description to spend thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of bonus dollars making all this shit happen for you. Like, but not only that, it is on your f-ing job. What do you mean it's not on my job? And I was like, please explain to me, what's not on your job description? Well, social media is not on my job description. I'm like, because you post stories of links that are sent. Like, I literally was like, I can't even with this.
I worked
like,
at,
what is that?
I worked at a millennial network.
Yeah.
Which is gone now. Pivot.
Yeah.
And one of the things about it, aside from the fact that millennials don't watch cable and we were a cable network, which right off the bat, I was like, doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah.
I found in the millennials I worked with some of the most hardworking people I had ever met,
right,
and the least hardworking people I had ever met. Really, from like my dear friend Ruth, who would do anything to help.
Yep.
To interns who were like, "I'm gonna learn that."
Interns
in class
are the worst. My friend Carrie just was like, just went through that where it was like, I don't like. They were supposed to like pull the headlines and. And, you know, send them through for like for PR, right? And Ashley was like, I remember when I'd have to get up at 4 a.m. to go in to cut them out of actual newspapers and put them in front of Jay Leno. Like, and these are all online. They're all generated online via Google search. It does it all for you. But it's like, that's my point is this. Be the first one in, be the last one to leave. If there's a gap, yeah. Find it. Own that shit. Make it your own. Put your ego aside. You're not too good for anything. And here's another story for you. I remember I met Henry Cavill, the kid that plays Superman. Mm-hmm. So I met this kid when he was 21. He was a host at a fucking restaurant. And he'd already been acting, right? But he wanted to be Superman, and he lost that job at that time to Brandon Routh, who had done that movie with Kate Bosworth. Like, he lost the first redo of Superman, right? And he was 10 years younger than me, but I remember being so impressed because he just was like, he took pride in everything he did. Right. He didn't think he was too good for anything. Meanwhile, he looked like a Greek god. He was even more handsome when he was younger. And he had already been acting, and here he was, like, as a host at a little gay restaurant in West Hollywood, and he had zero issue about his ego or being too good looking or having already acted. And he's like, this is my job. I just want to be good at whatever it is I'm currently doing. Yeah. And he's fucking Superman. So X amount of years later, there he was as Superman, Henry Cavill, movie star, done and dusted. So the thing is, put your ego aside. You're not too good for anything. That's another one that I just don't understand. I mean, I had this experience. We went to the Edition in Miami. The worst experience at a hotel I have ever had in my entire life, right? So we show up. They don't have our room. The room's an hour late. And the girl I'm dating is talking to the VIP manager. I'm on a plane. She still can't get into the room. And we're now 2 hours past the time we were supposed to be able to check in. And they kept telling her 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. So I now call. I'm off the plane. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What is going on over there? I'm like, this is so easy to fix. Put her in another room. Let her take a shower. Buy her some food. Tell her the truth about what's going on and get her in the room. And he's like, well, I offered her another room, but she wanted the one with a decent balcony. I go, so let me be clear. You offered her worse service as a solution. Right. And then the manager, who was this woman named Paola, who's actually amazing. When I got there, I was like, you're checking me out. You're giving me every penny back. You're getting a car. You're taking me to the Satay. And I was like, and I'm not even done with that, because it just had been on and on and on with this. Right. Like, lying to her 5 minutes. And she was a grown ass woman, sat down, was like, we would refund you, but what can we do? Like, super lovely and sweet. But then every experience I had at this hotel was shit. Every single one. Every single one.
That's now we are
every single one
when we have good customer service.
Yeah, the customer service was terrible. And so like everything was a fight.
Every customer service thing I go to now, I'm like, look, nothing against you. Can I please speak to a manager? Because otherwise you're explaining yourself to three different people.
Yeah.
And then they'll go to the manager. But either they're empowered. I mean, they're able to do it. So why don't they do it?
Know.
And I don't understand. But, and I don't think this is necessarily generational, like it's all the millennials, but it is this period in time right now.
But where,
customer service is.
You want to be different? Offer great customer service.
Yes.
You want to get ahead? Go above and beyond.
This is the same thing I dealt with Air Canada.
you want to, right? Yeah, exactly. It's like,
you notice how I'm quiet about all this shit.
Yes.
but the thing is, like, that will get you ahead. Like, if you look at Cody, this is a kid that started working for me at $500 a week. He now makes $2,000 a week, and I give him a huge bonus. And it's like, whatever he needs, he has, and he has full benefits, and he would literally lay down on a train track for me, and he has job security. I would give him anything he needs at any point. And look at that.
And by the way, if anyone out there is listening, oh, well, I've done that and it wasn't appreciated, then leave that job and find the one that appreciates you. But don't stop being that person.
That's how you will get ahead. I promise
and
you.
That's how you'll actually live a happier life.
Yeah. Enough said.
All right. Everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's not forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape, and best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
Hey, we have a very special guest right now.
Yeah, we do.
We have Jean Chatsky.
Money guru extraordinaire. Hi,
hey guys.
Bud. How are you?
I am really good. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, all transparency, Jean has a little cold and she still came
I do.
On.
Yes. I will try not to cough.
I was going to say, so feel free to cough. Like, don't try to stifle it. Just get it out if you need to cough. And it's
Thank
always...
You.
Dude, every time I'm on a book tour, I get sick.
That's what happens.
So, and speaking of, we're going to talk about your new book. So, this is perfect. And it's called Women with Money. And I think that title really says it all. But I want to ask you, of course, like, what inspired you? What is this about? Where did it come from? Why did you feel compelled to write it? I mean, again, the title kind of says it all. But I want to hear it from the source.
We have, as women, we've got more money than we've ever had. And despite everything you hear about the pay gap, which is still real and still a problem, right. Women have more money and more power than we've had at any other point in history. And we're only going to get more. I mean, when you look at the trends and you look at longevity and you look at inheritance and you look at education and the fact that women are graduating from college and grad school at much greater rates than men are.
We're graduating.
Yes,
why?
We are.
That's not a population thing. Aren't we just like a couple percent more than them?
No, it's several percentage, and in some college campuses, it's a problem. Like there are college campuses where women have trouble dating because there are a lack of guys, and they need to look at the ratios. But it's applications.
Wow.
Women are moving ahead at a much greater rate than men are, and we've got more money to show for it. And at the same time, we don't have the confidence that we need to create the lives that we want out of this money. And so that's what this book is about. It's about creating the life that you have been dreaming about, the life that you deserve, the world that you deserve, you know, making a real impact with all of this financial power.
Yeah, I was reading, because I, of course, Ashley, our mutual publicist, did not send me the book, so I ordered it on Amazon. But I got the one sheet about the whole book, right? So the part that I love so much, so it's a three-part plan, right? And we'll get into all that, but then you worked with economists, psychiatrists, behaviorists, financial planners, attorneys, and I was like, all right, she's not around here. So forgive me for saying that, but like that's pretty intense. And then you go on to say, and this really resonated with me. So it's okay. How to become inspired to start a business, invest for tomorrow, make your money last, use that money to foster secure relationships, raise independent and confident children, send those kids to college, care for your aging parents, leave a legacy, and best of all, bring yourself joy. So, I mean, that's the ultimate promise, right? That's what every woman wants, in my opinion.
We know that's what women want because we ask them. To all the behaviorists and the lawyers, we interviewed hundreds of women for this book and asked them, what do you want from your money? And this is what they said. I mean, everybody wants a layer of security. We want to know we're going to be okay. This is why women sometimes have an issue leaving too much money in the savings account in the bank where it's earning nothing and getting behind the eight ball when it comes to investing in the markets.
Not going to lie, I am exactly like that. It scares the hell out of me because then, you know, you see these headlines and it's like, oh, that, you know, that's down X amount of percentage. And the guy that helps me is always like, Jill, you've got to let me invest. I'm like, no. Triple insured. I want to put it in my mattress because it scares me, Jean, for all the reasons.
No, it does. It scares. And you are not alone. It scares the majority of women. The problem is if you leave it in your mattress, you're losing money because taxes and inflation are reducing the purchasing power of every one of those dollars every year. So prices continue to go up. You have that money in your mattress not doing anything for you.
Right.
And so we need to get comfortable with investing. And what's excuse me.
No, dude, girl, I feel you. Cough it out, baby.
We need to get comfortable with investing. And what's surprising to me is sometimes when I'm in a large room of women, I'll say, are you an investor? And you see a couple of hands just very, very slowly creep up.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask, do you have a 401k? Do you have an IRA? And every hand goes up because we're doing it. We're just not acknowledging that we're doing it and we're doing it well. And we just have to do more of it.
And so when you talk about, there's so many topics about this book that I want to talk about, like the difference between the way men look at money and women look at money. But I want to understand this three-part plan because this is, of course, like always when I talk to you, it's very selfishly motivated because I am afraid of that. And so, you know, I know I'm spending money on a guy to invest my money that I shouldn't be spending. Like I got ripped about it the other day and it's like 1% is really 20% and you're losing so much money when you could be doing this yourself. But it's so intimidating and overwhelming. So this book is a three-part plan. Explain it to me.
Okay. All right. The first part.
I know it's a book, but
no, it's okay. You got to understand yourself in relation to money. You have to understand if you are a leave it in the mattress kind of person, or you are somebody who every time they get upset wants to go buy something to feel better. Those
that too.
Things don't just happen, right? They come from your history, and you got to understand why you are the way you are with money, and it comes from childhood. It's not something somebody taught you. It's just the environment in which you are raised. And so you got to understand who you are when it comes to money. We've got exercises in the book that you can work through to help do that.
Oh, wow.
You got to understand who the other person in your bed is when it comes to money, because otherwise, you're going to have constant clashes over money, and we know this is what drives marriages and relationships apart.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it the number one thing people fight about is money?
It is.
Yeah.
It is, more than they fight about in-laws and sex. I mean, they much more than anything else, because money's power, right? The person who is in control of the money is largely in control of the relationship. And so when we are fighting about money, we're not really always fighting about dollars and cents. We're fighting about the balance of power. And you need to understand where that is. And if you need to change it in order to make yourself happier in your relationship, I'm a huge believer that we all need to have some money that we control ourselves. You know, just because you marry somebody doesn't mean that you want the same things that they want. And we all have to be adult enough to give ourselves some freedom to make independent financial decisions.
Of course. So, wait, okay, forgive me, because so I'm guessing, obviously, that's step one of our plan here.
That is part one.
God,
so
I didn't even think about that, Jean. I really thought it would be very, like, literal, you know? Well, first, we're going to understand S&P 500. And it didn't even appreciate, which I should, because that's what weight is all about, is the psychology behind, you know, why you're eating and how you're eating and when you're eating. I didn't even think about that. So
there's so many parallels, right? And then once you understand who you are as far as your money is concerned, then we can start talking about controlling it, just like you can start talking about controlling your weight.
Right.
And that's tactical, right? That's making sure you're getting paid as much as you should be and investing your money in a way that works for you. And, you know, it's all laid out. It's not hard. It's not expensive. You just have to do it. And if you're not going to do it, I think what you're doing and having somebody help you is the right thing to do. The worst thing to do is to not do it yourself and not have somebody else do it with you.
Okay.
Right? That's the worst thing. But we use part two to talk about, a lot of women these days want to start businesses and buy homes, whether or not they are married or engaged or have a partner. So we talk about all of those things, as well as using your money when you spend it in a way that makes you happy. And that's our prerogative. We all work really, really hard, and we are not conscious enough of using our money in ways that make us happy, but with a little bit of twisting of the equation, we can be.
So step two is getting into the tactics, then, you're saying, of like understanding how to invest or understanding how to start a business. And it's very funny, or like, it's not funny. It's just one of the things I talk about whenever I give a live speech, right, is, yes, you want to bring action to your intentions. However, the part of that equation that's missing is if you bring misinformed action to your intentions, it's like taking a wrecking ball to your life. So you want to start a business. You don't have the proper information. You're going out of business, period.
Right. Exactly. And all the chapters in this part of the book have both. So it's the education plus the steps so that you can jump off the page and apply for a loan with the Small Business Administration, or figure out where you're going to get the first $5,000 that you need to buy that house, or open up a Roth IRA and start putting some money into it automatically every single month, so that all of a sudden you are investing for retirement where 30 minutes ago you weren't, because it's that quick.
Okay. Now, with that said, that's the second part. Tell me about the third piece of the puzzle then.
Yeah, so the third piece is looking outside of ourselves, and it's using all of this financial power that we have to create the lives that we want for the people that we love and the world that we want. So it's raising kids who actually grow up to be independent adults.
I don't blame millennials, because I know the world is very expensive nowadays, but like, I have one living with me, my brother, and then my little sister, she lives with her mom. And even Jake, our engineer, he just moved out of his house and is on his own, and he's 26. And it's like, you're trying to, and I'm looking at my kids and I'm thinking, like, how do I teach them about money? And I give them, you know, jobs
we
and the allowance.
We
sure did. And I've done everything you've said. And they know exactly, by the way, how much is in their little piggy bank and the whole thing. It's crazy. But then at the same time, we're also taking care of our parents, right? It's overwhelming.
Right. Exactly. And when it's your parents that need help, it's a lot harder to say no, because often they are not in a position where they can, you know, go back and earn some more money, right? They may be done with that phase of their life, which means you got to get in there. And a lot of it is about good communication and understanding how to have the dialogue that you have to have with your parents, which is uncomfortable, in order to understand what they have and what they need and what they want, so that you don't end up in a terrible situation. I read a story just today in the Boston Globe about a man who died without a will, and he had a younger relative, I think it was a niece, living with him, helping take care of him. She wasn't in line to inherit the house because she's not the next, you know, she's not the closest living relative, and she's going to have to move out when that probably was not his intention.
Right. Of course.
So it's that kind of stuff. And then
does this walk you through that? Like how to establish?
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Does. Cause that is intimidating as hell and costly and scary. See, that's I find, and I can only speak for myself, but I find maybe it's fear of the unknown. You know, it's like sometimes I find this stuff kind of intimidating and overwhelming sometimes because I don't understand it and the stakes are so high. And what I love so much about what you do is you do make it very simple, very straightforward, very accessible.
Thank you.
So that it's not scary. It's not like, oh my God, I don't know how to think about this. I don't know where to begin. I don't want to deal with lawyers. How do I create this will? I'm so overwhelmed. And I think when people get overwhelmed, they just kind of sweep it under the rug for a different day and then it never gets dealt with. And it does irreparable damage because with neglect comes decay.
I think people do that in your world too.
They do.
Right?
I mean,
if you're not, I remember when I first tried to do a side plank, right? It showed up on my seven minute workout. I was not happy, you know, and I was a mess. I was definitely failing, but I was scared to do it. But then you do it and you realize, okay, I can hold this for 10 seconds. And then the next time you can hold it for 20. And it's very much like that. You have to get in there and you just have to do it. And then you'll feel better about the fact that you're actually doing it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I want to elaborate a bit more. Do you have a little bit more time?
Sure.
So guys, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back with Jean Chatsky.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This really struck me because, you know, Ash, or again, publicist extraordinaire, loves to highlight the talking points. And maybe because you didn't send me the book, Ashley, but that's okay. Not mad. sorry, Jean. So this point really stuck out at me because I want to understand this. Okay. It's like you could discuss the key differences between women's relationship with money and men's, the role money plays in your relationships, which you kind of touched upon there with regard to power. But what are the differences between the way men look at money and women look at money? Like, why would that be different?
It's different. It's the way that we're raised. I think it has a lot to do with hormones. For men, it's a race. For men, it is, men want the win. They want, and you know, this is a generalization, but it's a true generalization.
Okay.
They want to be better than the other people in the markets. They want their portfolio to perform better. They want their house to appreciate more. It's about, they want to have the biggest salary and the biggest office, and
right.
It's very competitive.
Okay.
Women are much more collaborative and goal-oriented. So it's not about winning. It's about figuring out where I want to go with my money and then getting a plan that will take me there. Doesn't have to be a place that's better than where everybody else is. It has to be the place that is meaningful to me.
Is there a right or wrong way then? Because I think our way sounds better. Is that wrong? Like, would we do better with a little more competition in our blood?
Maybe. If you're a competitive person, then if you can use that to get you into the game, maybe that will help. But for most women, figuring out what you want and then understanding that you can get there without taking an absurd amount of risk, because back to your money in the mattress, that's what makes us uncomfortable, and that's what keeps us from doing anything.
Right, fear. It paralyzes
us. It's fear, right?
Yeah, so of course.
If you understand
the themes
that
are universal, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to take that much risk. You can take an appropriate amount of risk, and it has a lot more to do with the plan and saving on a regular basis and being in a portfolio that's diversified so you minimize your risk, so it makes sense that you're doing this over a long time, not a short, quick day trading kind of time. That's what feels good to women. And women tell, you know, they're telling us, we want to invest. We want to understand this. We want to understand this part of money because this is where we're feeling like fish out of water. This is where we're feeling, you know, in many circumstances, we're feeling like we don't know the answers and we don't know what to say.
I don't. And I'm ready though. You know, what's so interesting is not to make this about me, but I just wonder sometimes if the listeners are going through similar things where I've gotten to a point in my life that I no longer have a business manager. I pay all my own bills. I'm not intimidated by any of it. I know where my money is. I know what it's doing. I'm almost 100% independent, except I don't know how to freaking invest. And I finally am like, all right, I'm ready to learn this. I want to understand what's going on here. And it, because I'm so scared, it's like I'm only in like triple insured bonds in the freaking mattress or the S&P 500. Like, I'm terrified. And I think that it's what
you
go ahead.
You said the S&P 500.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so for most people, that's fine. It's fine. You don't, what people tend to equate investing with day trading.
Yeah.
They think that, and women especially, we think that in order to be a good investor, if the markets have a down day,
you jump in and buy.
You have to do something.
Yes, because men do.
That makes you a bad investor.
Men, but I watch like guys do it and then be like, oh, I made a couple hundred grand today. And it's like my business partner knows how to do it. You know what I mean? My brother started getting into it, and they love it, and they like watch this thing all day long, and it scares
because
the crap out of me.
Win. It's about the win for them. It's not about, you know, what are they going to do with that money? You know, is there some goal attached to that that's going to make their life better? Right. No. It's all about the numbers. It's all about beating the next guy. That's not what it's about for women. And you don't have to do that in order to be a really successful investor. You can, you know what, we should open an account for you and buy some stuff. No, seriously. Okay. Like it could be an account with a couple of mutual funds in it or a couple of index funds in it. Or we could even open it with a robo-advisor where you let the computer basically say, okay, that you answer some questions. You should have 65% of your money in stocks, 35% in bonds. You'll put it in every week or every month, and you watch it over time, and that's how you get confident.
Would you be willing to do kind of jumping out, but like maybe we could do like something where we have like a challenge with maybe, I don't know if it's like our listeners or like people on the app where we all kind of try this together and we could link to your website, hermoney.com, or like I'll reach out to Ash because like I would love that, but I'd love to do it in a bigger way so you're not just helping me.
I think that'd be great. I mean, it would be like a virtual investment club, but rather than pooling our money, we're all doing it individually, but we're all doing it. I'll do it with you.
That sounds awesome.
I would love that. So I'll reach out to Ash and we'll see what we can kind of figure out for the future. But I would say that our first step, everybody, is get this book right now. So do we get this? I know it's available everywhere, but should we go to hermoney.com to get Women in Money, or should just
we have
just
a website separate for the book? It's womenwithmoneybook.com.
Okay.
But if you go to Her Money, it's all over the place.
Of course. Okay. So guys, this is going to be our first step. And then Cindy and I are going to connect with Ash, Jean and my mutual publicist. And we should do let's do this because I'm scared and I know a lot of people are scared. And I would love to have like a whole kind of little thing that we do where we challenge people and we do it together. So we'll expand on this. But again, the first step is I'm going to read the book. You guys read the book. So we're prepared. That'll be step one. And then step two, Jean's going to tell me what that is.
We'll do it together.
Thank you so much, buddy. You're, of course, as always, an amazing woman, as well as financial guru. And I hope that you feel better.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk soon. I'm not letting this go.
Okay. All right. No, amazing. I'm on it.
She's like, I did this with Oprah, but I'm willing to do it for the Jillian Michaels podcast.
It's all good.
Okay, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you get it weekly. You don't even have to think about it on iTunes or Spotify or wherever else you're listening.